Again, want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Pretty well every Sunday morning, as a ministry team, we gather over here in the pastor's study at 8:45, and we spend time together just talking and discussing our service. And then the one who has the message has the privilege of having the rest of them stand around them, around the person, and laying hands on them and praying for them. This morning, Sheldon came in to share a little bit. And before he left, we had a time of prayer there, and Sheldon was able to pray for me, and I counted that a privilege. Sheldon made a mention of something in his prayer, and I heard it two or three times now this morning, and that is that our time is short. And I don't know if Sheldon even remembers, but our time is short. I have some things here to share real quickly that really are not my message, but I thought, you know, when we get together to eat, sometimes we have appetizers. I'm going to give you a short little appetizer this morning before the message. On Thursday was Ascension Day, a day that we celebrate that Jesus went back to his Father. But before he left, he gave us a promise. Who knows what the promise is that he gave us before he left? He's coming back. Our time is short. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here's the promise. I will come again. He is coming back. Why? To receive us unto himself so we can be with him. We're excited when we think about the idea of going back to glory because we've got family there. And that's all good. But Jesus is there. That's why we want to go back. And unless we love him here, we're not going to have the opportunity. So here's my urging this morning. Let's remain faithful. Let's stand strong. Let's not wander away. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I want to urge us this morning, run life with zest. Give it everything you got. Have a goal of finishing well. That's enough this morning. We could probably just go home, couldn't we? There's so much in there. Finish well. But it's not going to happen unless we put our everything into it. It will tie in somewhat with our message. Turn to Exodus chapter 1 this morning. Menno, I think I am going to need some water. Please. Maybe he already went out. Nope. Thank you. We've been looking at the life of Joseph. We've actually come to the end of that. I was no longer pursuing that. But as I was looking at what should I share this morning, I've been reading in Exodus. I've been reading through some of the children of Israel's journeys and their travels. And as I came to Exodus chapter 1, something just kind of stuck out to me. And I think that's where we're at this morning. Exodus chapter 1, we have here, Joseph is now dead. He's gone. And it says that the king, a new king came in that did not know Joseph. So we have a total new picture here. And we have a king here that saw the children of Israel. They were growing in number. There were so many of them, the king all of a sudden got scared. And he said, unless we do something, if another army comes in to take care of us, they may join and we're toast. But I had to think about the fact, maybe if you would have treated them kindly, that wouldn't be the issue. But there was an issue here. So he decided we're going to do population control. Sounds a little bit like today, doesn't it? Some of the agendas that we have. He's going to do population control. Let's go to verse 15. Thank you. Verse 15 says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives." Here we have the midwives. It was their job to be with the ladies that were giving birth. Excuse me. "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, the birthing stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. So they have quick deliveries, is what they were telling him. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses, or gave them families and places to live, if you do a little research there. So we have two ladies here doing a menial task, something that was behind closed doors. It wasn't out there. It wasn't seen. But they stayed faithful in what they were doing. And sometimes in life, what we're doing, we kind of have the idea, nobody sees what I'm doing anyhow. Is it really worth something? And what I'm doing, does it count? Let me remind you that, yes, it does. God sees what you're doing. And that is the important part of it. They feared the Lord more than the king's command. And by the way, I did not give you a title this morning. The title of my message this morning is Let Your Words Be Few. And we'll get to that here after a bit. And we saw that, see the midwives here. It looks like they kind of were just a bit dishonest, doesn't it? Was it true that the children of Israel, their wives, delivered faster? We're going to leave that one. You talk to me about that. I got some ideas about that one. But as we look at some other things that happen in Scripture, in Acts 5, the verse says we ought to obey God rather than men. And it says God honored them. I'm not giving you permission to use the untruth. We're not at that point. We don't want to do that. But maybe it's something for you to check into. So they continued their work in the midst of, maybe we'd say, possible persecution, because they were serving a holy God. There was no room for them here to do their own thing. But instead, they followed God. They were faithful. How many of us today are Shiphrahs and Puahs, if I can say those names right? How many of us today are faithful in the midst of what we're struggling through? In the midst of life, when nobody's looking, they were behind closed doors. They remained faithful. Is it so easy? It is. I should just say it this way. It is so easy for us to give up. When life gets hard, life is inconvenient, to just kind of give up and do our own thing for a while and not face reality. But he wants us to continue to pursue what he's called us to. All of us this morning have needs. I could ask you, and I could share a bunch myself, but I could ask you this morning, have you faced something difficult this week? Maybe something that just really took you through a roller coaster. I did. I actually get to the place sometimes when we go through these roller coasters, we wonder, God, really? I'm your child, and I'm going through a difficult time like this. What's the plan? What's the picture you want for me? What's life all about? But then the issue that I struggled with, as I sought forgiveness and I repented, there was peace. But very clearly God came to me and He spoke to me. I faced every issue that you face. We have that in Scripture, by the way. Every issue you faced, I faced. And because I'm victorious, you can be victorious. We are not alone. Matter of fact, He is just a prayer away. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's taking you to one end, the beginning of Scripture. Now we're getting closer to the end of Scripture. Hebrews 11, we have what we call the faith chapter. We have so many people in here that they were great people of faith. They walked with God. They obeyed with God. They listened, first of all, they listened to God. And their walk showed that they loved. They obeyed without reason or understanding. Sometimes we get the idea, yeah, these were superhumans. They were way beyond what we are. They were human just like you and I. What made them great people of faith? Obedience. Hearing God. And obeying, stepping out, even though they couldn't see. I love to think of faith this way. I picture a cliff. And at the end of this cliff, of course, there's a huge drop off down into a valley. And I picture faith this way. I walk up to the cliff, but because I know my God takes care of me, and I can't see what's down there, I don't see a step. If I step out, I know I'm going to be okay. Because He's never failed me yet, and He will not fail me. If I fall, He's going to catch me. If I don't fall, there's a step for me to step out on and continue to walk. I picture faith that way. You might picture something else, but that's kind of what goes through my mind as I think about faith. But the things that they faced made absolutely no sense. And for us today, sometimes things that we face just don't make sense. But we know God is still in control. The reason they were able to be successful was because they lived out their faith believing and obeying what God told them. They didn't wait around to see if God would come through. We kind of use that, don't we? That term, come through. Waiting for God to come through. But instead, they believed that He would do as He promised, and that was enough. What's the promise we talked about at the beginning here? He's coming back. That's true. We need to remember that. He is coming back. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and He's talking about all these people of faith, and I'm not sure exactly what that picture is. Are they around us? Are they cheering us on? The idea that it gives here is a picture of lying down. There's peace. But yet I think about the idea of them standing there cheering for us. Come on, you can do it. Stick with it. That's kind of what I like to think about. Anyhow, let's go back to this verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We should continue to read here because of what He's, all the connections there. But we're going to stop there. He's talking here about laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Something I'd like to get to here soon. Not this morning. But as we think about this weight that He's talking about, it may not specifically be a sin. Maybe it's just something that drags us down a little bit and doesn't give us the freedom to continue. It could also be a sin. He does talk about a sin there. Let's think back to the two ladies, Shiphra and Puah. They were running a race. They did all they could to continue to do what God was asking of them. What were some of the weights that maybe they laid aside? Let's think a little bit about this. Is there maybe a sense of doubt that they could have had in God? God, you've asked us to be midwives, and now we're being persecuted for this. Are you going to remain faithful? They laid aside doubt. They believed in the one who was giving them guidance. Is doubt part of my hindrance to running well? They laid aside fear of the king, but instead put their confidence and trust in God. Is my race hindered by fear? Fear of what others may think about my run? They laid aside obedience to the king, and this gets a little touchy for us, but chose obedience to God as their first go-to. Brings a question, who am I committed to? Who really is my God guide in my life? They laid aside frustrations. It would have been really easy for them to quit following their calling. They could have been frustrated with the request of the king. Am I running with one goal, not looking to the right hand, to the left? Am I running straight ahead, keeping my eyes on the goal, keeping focus, looking to Jesus? They had a calling. They had a goal. You and I have callings. We have goals. What are we doing with these? Are we running or are we stumbling? Maybe I wonder, what's God asking of me? Can I encourage you this morning? For right now, where you're at, serve with everything you've got. And when the time is right, He's going to come. He's going to direct you or redirect you. But for now, serve Him with everything you've got. And when He comes, you will know. You will understand. So now I need some help from you. I've got a pen here. I'm going to write. I'd like to know, what are some of the weights? And I'd like to use this in a future message. What are some of the weights that you can think of this morning that might hold us back? Or maybe besetting sins? What's your thoughts? Fear.
The fear of being older and tired body.
Something that could drag us down. Okay, fear of getting older. Discouragement. Difficulty trusting. Ouch. Busyness. That was a subject two or three times this week, I think. Comparisons. Wow. Loss of focus. All right, looking at the troubles around us. Fear of rejection. Depression. Reality, isn't it? Depression. Worry.
Tiredness.
Ties in with busyness, doesn't it? And maybe getting older. Tiredness. We could continue to go on with somebody else. Guilt. Very good. I'm going to ask you, if you have more, please write them down, text them to me, or give me the paper. These are just a touch. There are so many things today that can actually weigh us down and keep us from running the race like we should run. Before we go into this whole thing what are these weights and what are these sins? There's something I'd like to focus on for a bit here this morning first. We spent some time with the youth about 2 weekends ago at Quaker Haven. The first session we did was titled Stop Praying. I asked the youth group, what do you think the church would say if I asked them to stop praying? I'm going to ask you this morning to stop praying. Don't toss me out yet. How many times do I become so familiar with praying that I don't remember who I'm praying to? It becomes old hat. It becomes something I do when I get up in the morning. It becomes something that I do before I lay down, before I eat. Let's look back at this week for a bit. Can you think about a time where you sat down this week to eat and you asked God to bless the food, but you never really considered who God is? I can nod my head. Go a little further. Think about a time this week when you woke up in the morning and you whispered a prayer for your day and you went out busy, you got in your truck, your car, ladies, you got up, you washed dishes, you prepared breakfast, and you prayed, but you really didn't think who you're praying to. Think about a time this week where you faced a struggle. And maybe you didn't pray at all. Or maybe, real quickly, God, I need help right now. It's been a while since I talked to you. Did you really consider who you were praying to? One of the things I find in my life that is way too prevalent, and I believe most of us in here this morning would probably say the same thing, is we have a pattern that we go through every day. We have a pattern of seeking God in our way. And we do it in a way that we're satisfied because we've done it. Am I making sense to you? That makes sense. Before I leave bed in the morning, I put my hand over my wife and I pray a blessing over her. Do I always consider who I'm talking to? At work, when it's time to eat, I quickly plop up on my bench. I grab my lunchbox. I put it beside me. I grab my phone, I put it beside me because I'm going to call my wife. And really quickly, I bow my head. God, thank you for this food. Would you bless us, guide us, keep us? And I eat my sandwich. Who did I just talk to? Did it leave the building? Busyness. What you said over here. We're so busy that we're coming to God's presence irreverently. And we expect Him to do what we ask without considering who we're talking to. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm stomping all over myself. Solomon gives us some very, very good advice. I think you need to turn to this. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Let's remember this was Old Testament. But Ecclesiastes 5:1 says this. Keep thy foot, in other words, walk carefully. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. for they consider not that they do evil. The word here has the idea of pay attention and obey. The sacrifice of fools has the idea of hasty speech. Verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. As I shared those verses with our youth group, I asked them to talk about that in their little groups as they split off. It was interesting what I heard when they came back. Let thy words, therefore let thy words be few. Now I ask you to stop praying. Here's my point. Let's stop praying and take into consideration who we are relating to, who we are talking to. And once we realize who we're talking to, let's continue really praying instead of just speaking. I'd like for you to bow your heads for a second. Close your eyes. I'm going to read the first verse of a song. And as I read this verse, I want you to imagine. Pray this with me, by the way, this first verse. I want you to imagine who you're talking to. It's going to be a different picture for each one of us, probably. But think. Take thou my hand and lead me unto the end. In life and death I need thee, O blessed friend. I cannot live without thee for one brief day. Lord, be thou ever near me and lead the way. I don't know what you experience, what you're sensing. I know it's just a little exercise. You can open your eyes again. I know it's just a little exercise for us to do. But I want us to really take into consideration this morning. Do I realize who I'm talking to? There's more on prayer. We have the scripture that talks about going to your closet, spending time in prayer with the Father in your closet, which is so important. It is so important that we have a connection with the Spirit as we pray. He says, pray in spirit and in truth. Prayer is our lifeline, not our sideline. Too many of us make prayer our sideline and not our lifeline. Luke tells us about two men who went up to the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other one was a publican. The Pharisee we look at, he knows all about Scripture. He knows the law. He is a good man. Follows everything to a T. The publican is a tax collector. He's at the bottom of the barrel. We look down on him. But as they went to pray, the Pharisee could do nothing but talk about himself. God, look how good I am. Look at all the gifts you've given me. I am so valuable to you. And it all come back to just me, 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 me. The publican, it says, he stood afar off. And he wouldn't even as much as look up. But he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One exalted himself. The other exalted God. One came with pride, the other with humility. One came to be seen. The other came to see God. The publican saw a God of mercy. Who do I see? I'm going to close this morning. And I want you to think about prayer, about seeking God, and about who you're really talking to. When it comes to the time of judgment, Somebody's going to have to make that decision. Do I know him now? Or will I get to know him then? Stop praying. Start seeking. And begin praying. And it's when we begin to really pray and to realize who we're praying to that worship begins. And I believe God is pleased. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Actually, would you stand? Let's pray. God, you are a God that is so merciful. You were willing to send your Son for each one of us here. We didn't deserve anything but death. But yet, because of your great love, you said, I'm coming. I'm sending my Son so you can have life. And then when your Son left, he gave us the Holy Spirit and he also gave us a promise that he's coming back. Lord, we believe that soon. Lord, we're not here this morning to be scared into the kingdom. But we're here this morning to love you, to honor you, and to serve you. So many times, Lord, we're so faulty, we're so feeble. But yet you love us. And you guide us, and we thank you. Lord, I pray a blessing over each one that's here today. And I pray, Lord, that we would truly see you. And Lord, that our prayers would become fervent. And that we would draw nigh to you. Would you bless us here? Speak into our hearts. Draw us close to you. We ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing. And Lord, we will serve you this week. And give you the honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.